You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, classy, sassy, molassy lassies, drinking mango lassies. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 41, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we're your confident conduits for contagious, conflicting conjecture and condensation?
Sure. Yeah. You know, given the right weather conditions.
But not condescending.
Yeah. No, never condescending.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And no Chris this week, sadly, but we do have a special guest who is subbing in, and that is wine.
A nice big old tumbler of wine.
This episode is brought to you by the letter wine.
All right, let's jump into our general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And it's just Colin versus Dana today.
Showdown.
Yeah.
Here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card. Here we go. Get your barnyard buzzers ready. Mm-hmm. Blue wedge for geography. What are the only two countries where alligators are found? Mm. Oh.
Well, I know they're found in the U.S.
Yes.
Because they're in the south. Alligators, the only other country. Geez. Egypt? I don't know.
Australia?
Oh, I would think it would be Egypt, too. Yeah,
because well, I mean, answers are crocodiles. I mean,
it is China.
Huh.
China, really? The United States.
Okay.
I would guess somewhere in Africa and somewhere in maybe South America. You know, we're big rivers.
Right, right.
Here we go. Pink wedge for a pop culture. What kind of candy was lost inside an operating room patient in a Seinfeld episode? Oh.
That is the Junior Mint.
Yes. They sewed him up with a Junior Mint still stuck in his body.
Yes.
Yellow wedge. What organization created in the wake of World War I was the precursor to the United Nations? Dana.
League of Nations?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Fell apart because
politics.
Stuff.
Yeah. Stuff.
Things went down.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
And purple wedge. John Leguizamo plays French painter Toulouse-Lautrec in what 2001 Baz Luhrmann film?
Moulin Rouge.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Moulin Rouge. Green wedge for science. The duck-billed platypus and echidna are the only two mammals to do what?
Lay eggs.
Yes, yeah. Lay eggs. They look like eggs, but they're not like chicken eggs with a hard shell. It's actually a weird, hard, leathery kind of shell. So it's not like you can crack it. It's like a very hard
reptile-y
sack.
Hmm.
So it takes a lot longer to make an omelet is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Ew. All right, last question. Orange wedge. What craft includes water bomb and blintz bases?
What craft activity? Water bomb and
blintz bases.
I don't know.
Sounds like
know.
War terms, huh?
I don't know.
I'm like craft.
Craft. What?
It is origami.
Oh. Oh,
okay. So it'd be like techniques.
I'm bad at origami. I really am.
I'm good at following the instructions.
I'm not good at following origami instructions.
All right, good job, brains. Let's jump into our topic for the week. And I'd like to think we here at Good Job Brain are mid-brow. I mean, a lot of the things
we do. I'm unibrow.
We're a giant unibrow. That's right. Yeah, I agree. Because a lot of things we talk about, you know, are very history-based or science-y, very academic-heavy. Sure. So kind of like some highbrow stuff. But at the same time, we also like talk about poop.
Yes.
On the other hand.
Yes, yes. So we can run the gamut from fine literature to animal secretions.
If we average out, you know, the lowbrow and the highbrow, we're kind of a midbrow.
Yeah.
Unibrow.
Yeah. I'll go on.
Brows all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So today's episode will be interesting because I'm pretty curious what's going to happen. We're going to dive into the world of celebrity secrets.
Yes.
Ha 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 ha!
Yeah, I like the approach to this episode because it's going to be kind of a grab bag. We've got some like little known celebrity secrets, maybe some gossip and tawdry stuff, and also just some plain crazy. Like any good celebrity gossip rag, I think we'll be a little bit all over here.
You need a glass of wine and some trashy celebrity gossip.
So usually when we record, we have our own segments. We kind of know what each other are maybe going to talk about, but on a really general level. So it's always kind of a surprise on the show when, you know, one of us actually does go on and, and talk about stuff. And that's why my mind's always blown. I don't know any of that stuff beforehand. So this will be interesting. I'm actually going to start, and I want to kind of meet first at the intersection between braininess and celebrities.
It's not judged.
Colin, in a previous show, I think in a sports quiz, you mentioned that Gina Davis, like 2 years of picking up archery, became like a world-class archer.
Yeah, she was a semifinalist for the U.S. Olympic squad, yeah.
Amazing. And then, Dana, you said that she was in Mensa.
Yeah.
And so this kind of got me thinking. I was like, oh, who else? Like, what other famous celebrities are also in Mensa that we just don't know about? So, of course, Mensa is a society or a group.
Society.
A society.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
A group of people who are, the language is their the 98th percentile or higher when they place on an IQ test.
Mm-hmm. It's the high IQ society.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But do you guys know what Mensa means?
Oh, I've heard this before. I've absolutely have, and I cannot recall. Is it like a mythological reference of some kind, or I can't recall.
Mentalist.
Is it a Latin phrase?
So yeah, I always thought it was an abbreviation, because you see it in all caps.
Like an acronym.
It's not. Yeah, it's
it
not.
It sounds Latin.
It's not. Oh. It is. It's Latin, and it means table.
Okay.
If you look at the logo, it's a table. Like, the M is a little table. Oh. And it's supposed to mean, like, the round table nature of the society, and everybody meet up and talk about smart things, I guess.
Okay.
Cool. So here I have a list of other very smart people, and I'm going to quickly quiz you guys. What actor starred in movies like Salvador and Ghost of Mississippi? He was also the voice of Hades in the Disney movie Hercules and had a fictional school named after him in Family Guy.
James Woods?
Yes, James Woods. He is a rock star. Allegedly, he's reported to have an IQ of 180.
Wow.
Yeah, and he went to MIT, very prestigious. Yeah, he's said to be one of the smartest people in the world.
I can see that. I mean, I just, in the little I've seen him on interviews, he comes across as a strange but very intelligent man. Yeah.
Okay.
And those are not mutually exclusive.
I think they go hand in hand.
Yes, yes, you might be right.
And here's another person. This one blew my mind.
Oh.
Okay. She studied piano as a child and performed at Carnegie Hall several times before the age of 15. She is a member of Mensa and has an IQ of 156. Mm-hmm. She is probably more famously known by her porn career, and her stage name reflects her inherited Japanese ancestry. Famous 90s porn
Tila
star.
Tequila.
That's not Tracy Lords. That's not obviously Japanese. Oh, I feel like I've heard this before.
Asia Carrera.
Isn't she Tia Carrera's sister?
No. That was a rumor.
That sounds like a pre-internet rumor. That is probably a very small subset of Mensa members and successful porn actors.
I bet there are more.
It's true. It's probably true.
Here's another name. Adrian Cronauer is also in Mensa, and his name might sound kind of familiar. That's Adrian Cronauer.
Yeah, why do I know that?
Because his life in Saigon was made into a very popular 1987 movie.
He is the real-life DJ that Good Morning Vietnam was based on,
yes.
The Robin Williams character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That movie actually was Robin Williams' first ever nomination for Best Actor in the Oscars.
Ah.
Do you guys know for what role did he actually win an Oscar for?
Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, it was for
Good Will Hunting for supporting actor. And he was actually nominated a couple times as a lead actor, and that was for Dead Poets Society.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Flubber. Fisher King.
Oh,
Terry Gilliam movie.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Tell me what band has a song with these lyrics that I'm going to read out very flatly.
All right.
Okay.
He needs some cool tunes, not just any will suffice. But they didn't have Ice Cube, so he bought Vanilla Ice.
Oh, is it Outkast? I mean, not Outkast, Offspring.
Offspring, oh. Correct. Yeah. That's pretty fly for a white guy. Ah. So the lead singer of Offspring, Dexter Holland, he is unbelievable. He is an expert in molecular biology.
Really?
In chemistry.
Really?
And all that stuff. He was actually a PhD candidate in molecular biology at USC. Eventually dropped out because of Offspring. And Offspring took off. And he also has bachelor's and master's degree and also different types of biology as well.
Huh.
There are also other celebrities that you hear of who are very, very smart. Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah,
of course, Ivan Drago from Rocky. Well,
and he was talked into being an actor, right? Yep. I think I remember reading that at
one
point.
He was like a bodyguard first.
Yeah.
And then became an actor. But before all of that, he was also an expert in science or an academic in science. Sacha Baron Cohen is also very smart. Sharon Stone allegedly has a very high IQ. Uh-huh, and Cindy Crawford as well.
Well, Mayim Bialik, right, has a PhD. Yeah. Who is Blossom and is now on Big Bang Theory.
I feel like that's not a surprise.
No. I guess it's not as surprising as finding out Dexter Holland. No offense, Mr. Holland. Yeah.
So there you go. So let's start off our celebrity show with some brainy celebrities.
Some hidden geniuses. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to tell you guys a little story here. It involves many celebrities. And what I like about this story is that it's the kind of thing where at the root of it, it's something that could happen to just regular people. But, you know, you throw in enough money and fame and crazy, and it just scales fantastically well.
I hope it's not a sad story.
Oh, no. It's not sad. And as I say, there's nothing that scales better than crazy. So have you heard of the pro basketball player named Carlos Boozer?
His last name is Boozer?
His last name is actually Boozer. Carlos Boozer.
No.
He's not a superstar, but he's a very solid player. He's been around for a while. And he's played for a few teams, Cleveland and Utah, and these days he plays for Chicago. Like a lot of people with money, NBA stars will have multiple houses. And
understandable.
Yeah, understandable. You know, they'll usually, or they'll often have a house in whatever city they play for and another house in New York
hometown.
Or LA or their hometown, right. Early in his career, Carlos Boozer bought this huge deluxe mansion in the Hollywood Hills in LA. Didn't necessarily spend a lot of time there because he's traveling on the road playing professional basketball. So one day he gets a call from his manager, and his manager basically is like, Carlos, somebody wants to rent your house. And he was kind of reluctant at first, his manager is like, no, he wants to offer you a ton of money to rent your house.
Like for a day, for a party? Or
for a period of months, kind of thing. Yeah, subletting. Okay. And again, this is not really all that uncommon among wealthy people with big houses. They may rent them out, or movies may shoot there, or things like that.
Got it.
And this person turned out to be Prince, the musician, that Prince, right. not a royal prince, Prince the musician.
Not a prince, the prince.
The prince. The purple one himself. He was offering to pay $70,000 a month.
What?
For 9 or 10 months to stay in Carlos Boozer's mansion. So Carlos Boozer was pretty much like, all right, for 70 grand a month, I think we can swing that.
And for Prince.
Right. Now, at this point in the story, you might be thinking, what could possibly go wrong renting your house to Prince for almost a year unsupervised?
This is a sitcom. Colin said something about crazy, but I don't know where that's going to happen.
So this was around 2004, 2005. Like right around this time, Prince had an album that he was working on that was going to be coming out. So Carlos Boozer says, great, go ahead, rent the house to Prince. Let's flash forward to 2006. And the lease has expired. Prince has moved out. He was there for, you know, the full time that he had agreed to be there. And Carlos Boozer's back in LA, and he's driving by. He's like, oh, go check out the house. He's driving by. He can't find the house. He's looking. He goes back and forth three times. The reason he can't recognize his house primarily is because it had been repainted. And this is the first thing that he notices, is that there are now big purple stripes all over the outside of his house. And
Prince.
The front gate has been changed to the Prince sign. Remember that elaborate symbol that he had for a while?
Whoa! You can't do that on
the Prince symbol is also painted on the house. And also painted on the house in big numbers are 3121. Now, this was the name of the album that Prince had coming out right around this time. So, you know, I mean, in addition to just customizing the house, he's like, hey, why not use it to promote the album?
It's a marketing tool.
That's a billboard. That's not my house.
Oh, and the fountain. Let me tell you about the fountain.
He built a fountain.
So one of the standard features of this house was it had this kind of elaborate streaming fountain that ran water all the way leading up to the front door as you're approaching.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. Kind of classy, yeah. And, you know, exorbitant. Very Hollywood Hills mansion style, yeah. So apparently, instead of the regular kind of bluish normal water that had been in there, you can of course imagine that Prince had changed it out to purple water. So he's coming out the front door of his house. There's purple water in his fountain, purple stripes. So he goes inside. And in short order, he discovers that not only has Prince made the changes on the outside, but inside the house, he has knocked out walls, punched holes in walls to reroute things.
That's just wearing tear, Colin.
He's taken out baseboards. He's removed moldings from the top of the house. He changed the downstairs bedroom to a hair salon.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, naturally.
That was an improvement.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then just the masterstroke touch was that he had ripped out all the carpets from the bedrooms. And in the master bedroom has all purple Prince monogrammed carpet installed in the master bedroom.
So people know who you are.
Yeah, in case you have made it all the way into Prince's master bedroom without quite cluing into who he is. Oh, wait a minute.
You're blindfolded.
Yeah, all right. You're probably right. It's more for the case of you wake up there. And you're
not, where am I?
Look purple P.O. Prince.
Yeah.
So further, it turns out that as part of a promotion, Prince was holding a private concert at the house. He had this elaborate kind of like Willy Wonka style promotion where there was a purple ticket in copies of the CD.
And if
you were lucky enough to get the purple ticket, you could attend this private concert at that very mansion.
Carlos Boozer has no idea this was
was not what Carlos Boozer had in mind when he agreed to rent his house to Prince. So needless to say, he is pissed off. And
I don't know what my reaction would be. Would be like, huh, this is kind
of
cool.
Some of these things I like, some I don't like so much.
So early in 2006, a lawsuit was filed. And so the reason that a lot of these details are public knowledge is, of course, due to our old friends at the Smoking Gun. A lot of the papers were revealing these alleged damages. Shortly after the suit was filed, it was withdrawn. And, you know, generally what that means is they came to some sort of settlement. In fact, that does seem to be exactly what had happened. They're both under non-disclosure, but Boozer told the story to a friend of his, another NBA player, Jay Williams. He said what had happened was Prince's people kind of said, all right, hey, here's a check for $1 million.
Whoa.
This should cover the damage. We're all cool now, right? And Carlos Boozer was like, yeah, we're cool now. And as I say, so this happened in like 2006. And then in the last couple years, there was a little bit more of a happy coda that kind of came out to the story, which is that in that time, Prince and Carlos Boozer have kind of hung out a few times. There's an awesome quote I have from Carlos Boozer here about hanging out with Prince.
This is post-settlement.
And yeah, and again, like they're strictly speaking not allowed to talk about this because they signed as part of settlement. But this is Carlos Boozer talking about Prince. He's a great dude, very humble, very successful. He lives a good life. I'll put it that way. I'm not a big fan of some of his concerts. He likes to do the butt cheek thing. Not really my thing. Some of his music is pretty hot, though. My mom and dad grew up in that era.
Oh, ew.
La, 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 la. I like how he's like, he's pretty humble. You know, he put his like monogrammed carpet all over my house.
Yeah, what screams humble aside from...
So I would assume all that stuff is gone.
Right. So with the $1 million and, you know, at a few times, Carlos Boozer actually does not own the house anymore. So that's the end of the Prince.
Because I want to go by and check it out if all the Prince stuff is
all of those changes have been undone, as it were. But so in the course of researching this story, some interesting details have come out about this particular house that I had never known before. So apparently this house has some really interesting history. In 1953, there was a wealthy contractor named Hal Hayes. And by,
sounds like a comic book character with alliteration. Lois Lane, Hal Hayes.
Yes, Hal Hayes. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, he was a total playboy bachelor.
Oh,
like, I just imagine,
Bruce
like,
Wayne.
A real-life Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark. So just this wealthy industrialist. He owned a construction company, and he had this house built for the equivalent of $5 million today. And he just did it up. It was the absolute just bachelor pad of 1953. It had an indoor-outdoor swimming pool, of course.
Yes.
It had scotch, bourbon, and champagne faucets.
What?
You could turn a faucet and get scotch, right? Which sounds like something that Mr. Burns would have on The Simpsons.
Wow.
It had a television set in an indoor tree.
What? I don't understand what that means.
It had an underground cave, voice-activated lighting.
Now, why
do you need a cave in your bachelor pad?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. So he's
Batman.
An interesting dude,
he's
Hal
Batman,
Hayes.
You guys.
But yeah, I mean, I just want to underscore that voice-activated lighting. This is 1953.
Man.
So this is some futuristic stuff. Right. And apparently, why did he have underground caves and things like that?
Yeah.
So,
Do I really
this is the
know?
50s and, it's nuclear fears were... rampant
it's
and
like a fallout
I thought
shelter.
You were gonna say murder case.
Hal Hayes Hal Hayes in particular had a lot of nuclear fear. He designed the house, his idea was that it was gonna be able to withstand an atomic blast.
Wow.
So the walls were reinforced. He had this idea that in the event of a nuclear attack, he could dive into the pool, decontaminate himself, and come out inside, and it has an oxygen supply inside.
Wow.
He had a room with a heavy rug, and I'm quoting from an article at the time, a heavy green living room rug that climbs up a glass wall at the press of a button. This is from Time magazine. He said, since the rug is so heavy, it stops gamma rays and neutrons as well.
Oh, no.
And I'm pretty sure it would not actually stop gamma rays and neutrons.
As well.
Right.
Yeah.
So since the early 60s, the house changed hands a few times. There's a rumor that Elizabeth Taylor lived there, perhaps. It ultimately ended up in the hands of Carlos Boozer. This whole saga took place, and Carlos Boozer apparently sold it to the founder of Rockstar Energy Drinks.
Wow, so Rockstar Energy Drink, that dude is living there.
Yeah, well, if this was...
Maybe he changed the fountain so there's Rockstar.
It just sprouts Rockstar, right. This was as of a few years ago, so it may have changed hands again since then. But this house has seen some crazy stories, let's just suffice it to say.
That is, you're right. That is crazy.
That's a good house.
You add money, fame, and crazy.
That's what you get.
And stir.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, and we're going to take a quick break from our celebrity secrets topic. And guess what, you guys? It's time for a Good Job Brain mnemonic.
Oh.
We haven't done one in a while.
It has been a little while, yeah.
And today, we're going to learn about the eyeball.
Oh.
The old eyeball. Imagine traveling centrally through your eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
So this mnemonic I made is a handy and simple way to remember the different parts of the eye that a light would encounter on its pathway.
Got it.
Okay. Here's the list of the actual parts of the eye that it hits in order. So first it's your cornea, then through your pupil, a lens, retina, optic nerve, and brain.
Okay.
So, straight shot through. And then my mnemonic is chubby penguins love rich, oily burgers.
Aww.
They like to eat oily burgers.
It's a vicious circle. So, all right. So, let's recap that. So, that's chubby is cornea, penguins, pupil, love, lens, rich, retina, oily, optic nerve, burgers, brain.
Yes. Chubby penguins love rich, oily burgers. And actually, I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, you excluded some other parts of the eyeball, such as the eyeball body itself, and their chamber is filled with fluids. Getting a little technical, but guess what? I also made a mnemonic to include those two. So that would be cornea, aqueous humor, pupil lens, vitreous humor, and vitreous humor is actually your eyeball, the stuff in your eyeball, retina, optic nerve, brain. And then the new mnemonic would be chubby, adorable penguins love very rich, oily burgers. So you have a choice of two, whether you want super nerdy or just plain nerdy.
I like it.
There you go.
I like it.
Oh, and as always, you can find our mnemonics on our website, goodjobbrain.com.
Yep, we got an archive there with all of our mnemonics that we shared on the show.
Yep.
So go look it up if you're curious. And actually, relatedly, one of the things I love about doing this podcast is getting to know our listeners. And I'm so curious and I love learning about like where they come from or what they do. And no surprise that a good chunk of our listeners are doctors or med school students or nurses or of different medical fields.
They are? That's cool.
A lot of people actually write in with their own very, very complex mnemonics about like the bones of your wrists.
I can imagine.
And that's a field where mnemonics
Well, it's all about elaborate little systems where things have to go in a certain order or there are lots of little parts that are all connected.
Memorizing pathways. Right. So it's very integral to their field. And I also love reading about body stuff too.
That sounded shady, Karen.
Especially like genetic mutations and like oddities of the human body is always really cool. Since this is the Celebrity Secrets episode, I wanted to share a list and let's learn about some weird human body occurrences and conditions and the famous celebrities who are affected. And I want to see if you guys can guess what the condition is just by its technical name. It's figure outable. So here we go. And I've actually mentioned this in a previous show. Syndactyly.
Oh, something with fingers, right? Fingers or toes. Is it like web feet?
Is it six fingers?
It is
webbed.
Web digits. Dactyls or digits. Okay. So it can be fingers or toes. Oh. When you say web toes, it kind of sounds gross. If you've never seen it, you kind of imagine like duck feet.
Right.
Sure. Well, I'm like, oh, they must be good swimmers. That's what I think.
When I was a kid, I would always think that. I'm like, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that's pretty easily remedied surgically if you need to, right?
Yeah. There are different degrees of webness. And when I say webbed, it's like, say, if two fingers or two toes were kind of grown together with the flesh part, right? And that's the common occurrence. There's actually five stages of syndactyly going from just, you know, two of your toes are kind of joined at the bottom at the stem, not all the way through, and usually this can be fixed with surgery. On the other end of the spectrum, you have somebody like fictional, but the Penguin, right? The Penguin in a lot of Batman comics or movies, where like he has kind of like flipper hands, and that's when all his fingers kind of
severely fused,
fused together. And here are some celebrities that have webbed toes: Dan Aykroyd, webbed toes; Ashton Kutcher, also webbed toes. And also Battlestar Galactica's Cylon number 6, Trisha Helfer. So here's another condition. See if you can figure it out. It is called situs inversus.
Okay. Situs. S-I-T-U-S?
Mm-hmm. Right. And other names for it are situs transversus or oppositus. Oppositus.
Well, it's something that's upside down from what it should be or inverted or something.
Is it like your feet are on the wrong feet?
That is something though, right? Yeah. That is something. It is a congenital condition in which the placement of some vital organs or maybe one are reversed and mirrored in your body.
So like how almost all of us have our heart on our left side, for example, they might have it on the right side. Whoa, okay.
Isn't that nuts? I don't know how that...
Situs invertus.
Yeah. I don't know, Colin, if you know Randy Foy.
Sure.
NBA player.
Yeah.
He has situs inversus.
Oh, really?
And he's a professional athlete.
I did not know that.
Sweating and playing basketball like it ain't no thing. And another person who also has inverted heart is Catherine O'Hara.
Huh.
Really?
Very talented actress.
Yeah.
Known in Christopher Guest mockumentaries and also the mom in Home Alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Wow. So when you say like she's really got her heart in the right place, she doesn't.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
That's a bad joke.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Catherine O'Hara.
Panic clause. Yeah. All right. And I have another one here, and it's called dystichia.
Dystichia. Something displaced or I don't know.
Dystichia is an eyelash or several eyelashes that arise from a weird parts of your eyelid that wouldn't grow eyelashes.
Whoa.
Yeah. So extra row of eyelash, or they come from like the more inner parts, the corners of your eyes. And the funny thing is only humans and dogs have this happen. But the famous person who has dystichia is Elizabeth Taylor. It's reported that she has like an extra row of eyelashes.
Oh, it's like an unfair advantage.
It is. Obviously, it might cause some irritating problems with the eyeball, but for Elizabeth Taylor, it actually kind of worked to her advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Highlighting her violet eyes. Really? Even more so.
That's amazing.
And lastly, this might be my favorite one.
Cavalcade of amazing. Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know some of these things existed.
Yeah.
Kind of knew this one existed, but I didn't know that it was a lot of people actually have this. Polyphilia. Polyphilia.
Right. Many. Thelium is like related to skin, isn't it?
Close.
Is it like...
It's usually related to the number three, like a third something.
Is it... Oh, is it third nipple?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I know who... All right, I think I know someone. Doesn't Mark Wahlberg have this?
Yes,
Mark... I called him Marky Mark. Yes.
Because you're friends.
I did call him Marky Mark.
Mark Wahlberg has famously in his Calvin Klein modeling photos, he actually has like a little vestigial... It's like a zit. It's not like a fully areola nipple.
Right.
Nipple.
When you hear superfluous nipple, you imagine something that's a lot more substantial.
Yeah, like an... or something. It is not. Tilda Swinton also has a third nipple, and Lily Allen. British Shantus.
Amazing.
It's also known as the supernumerary nipple. And I believe in the UK there was actually a documentary called The Triple Nipple Club. And it kind of talked about the mystery and the history around and the folklore surrounded the third nipple. And back in the day with the witch hunt, they would burn people with a third nipple thinking that they're witches.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a little ashamed to admit that I didn't think of triple nipple until just now. It seems so obvious.
In retrospect,
it's such an obvious,
Stippled triple nipple.
Stippled triple nipple. So there you go.
Amazing.
Some weird human body oddities and the celebrities who have them.
Amazing.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
All right. Well, speaking of Marky Mark, he is, of course, now far more famous as Mark Wahlberg, but he did start. He broke into public consciousness as Marky Mark.
It's so hard for me not to call him Marky Mark sometimes.
Yeah. And I think it's a sign of respect that you can think of him and not snicker every time you call him.
Oh, like, oh, Marky Mark.
Yeah, sure. Marky Mark. So that's a great segue into what I want to talk about, which is stage names and real names. And because this covers all the things we've talked about a little bit of secret. Sometimes there's, you know, weird origin stories. If you're like me and you like doing this research on celebrities' real names, like, you find out that a lot of them come out of a couple things. Like, either there's some sort of fear of a stigma against a really overtly ethnic sounding name or a foreign name, or it's just something that just doesn't roll off the tongue, you know, and it's almost, there's a lot of shame caught up in. But, you know, don't cry for any of these celebrities, because they all worked out okay because they're in the quiz now. So
their whole lives have just been leading up to this
For this. Yeah.
So I'm going to have you guys answer a series of trivia questions here, and I'm going to try and clue you. And what I'm getting at is you need to tell me the stage name, the name that we know this person by.
Oh, you're going
to
tell us their real name.
I'll give you their real name and a couple clues. Like, so for example, here's a softball for you guys. Chart-topping singer Stephanie Germanotta is better known by what noble stage name?
Lady Gaga. Too many clues, Colin.
Right. That was just to get the
chart-topping.
This is also a critique of your quiz creation skills.
My goodness. All right. We'll see who's laughing at the end of the quiz.
I know.
All right.
You win, Colin. I know.
All right. Here we go. We'll start off. This Israeli-born Academy Award-winning actress changed her last name from Hirschlag. Karen.
Natalie Portman. Read that she was born in Israel.
Yes, that's right. She was.
Has citizenship there.
She does. This London-born pop singer and former MTV staple is the son of a Greek immigrant as you might guess from his birth name, Georgios Panayotou. Dana.
George Michael.
It is Georgios Panayotou. This member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was born Declan McManus, but takes his stage name partly from another member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that sounds so familiar, that name.
Karen.
Sid Vicious?
No, incorrect.
No.
Not close.
Takes his stage name from a very famous rock and roll singer. Karen.
Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello, yes.
What's his real name?
Declan McManus.
That sounds like a Harry Potter character.
So this is interesting. I learned Costello, I guess, was his father's stage name when his father was a musician. Born to parents of Sri Lankan Tamil descent, Matangi Arulprakasam has adopted what stage name for her musical career? Dana.
M.I.A.
That is correct. Which is, of course, a dual play on M.I.A. and also her name is Maya.
We're a little sassy tonight.
Tamil.
Yes. Name another singer. This Academy Award-winning actor was born Krishna Banji, but adopted what stage name after fearing he would not be as successful with a foreign name? Those are his words. Karen.
Oh, he said that?
Yes, he did.
Ooh, Ben Kingsley.
It is Ben Kingsley.
I mean, he won for Gandhi.
Yes, right? I mean, perhaps the biggest irony of it all. This legendary American entertainer was born Naftali Nathan Birnbaum and started his career in show business after dropping out of the fourth grade. Naftali Birnbaum, legendary entertainer. This was a while ago. Karen?
Charlie Chaplin.
No, not Charlie Chaplin. You're getting closer. That's going back a little too far. This entertainer performed well into his 90s.
Oh, George Burns.
George Burns.
Oh,
Nathan
wow.
Birnbaum. George
Burns.
Yeah. There are a number of stories about where exactly the name George Burns came from, but...
That also sounds like something from Harry Potter, like a joke shop item.
It does.
Naftali Birnbaum.
Yeah.
This American film actor changed his last name to avoid the parents of nepotism and adopted the last name of a comic book superhero instead. Dana.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Can you explain both parts of that? What is his real last name?
Coppola?
It is Coppola.
Yeah, he's part of the Francis Coppola family.
Yes.
Nephew.
He is the nephew of Francis Ford Coppola.
I know he named his son Kal-El.
Yes, like,
he's a comic book
huge comic book nerd.
So, yeah, Cage. Luke Cage.
That's right, from Luke Cage. He was just basically, he was one of those heroes where his power was just big and tough. All right, last one here. Born Reginald Dwight, this award-winning British musician legally adopted his stage name in 1972, including the middle name Hercules.
Tiny Dancer.
So actually, it was our trivia question in our Kickstarter page more than half a year ago. This was a trivia question. Reginald Dwight is Sir Elton John.
Yes, this is one of my favorites. And I know that a lot of you listening will know Reginald Dwight as Elton John. And I really wanted to include it because of the nugget of Hercules. So this is interesting. So Elton actually comes from a former bandmate of his, Elton Dean. And the John comes from a blues musician nicknamed Long John Baldry. And this is not the Hercules from Greek mythology. I have found multiple sources on this. So this is, I believe this. Hercules was the name of the horse in a popular British TV sitcom, Steptoe and Son. So this was his tribute to a horse from a sitcom. Yes, Sir Elton Hercules, horse from a sitcom, John.
Nice. You know what? Those were all his influences. Bandmate, the cartoon horse, and then the blues musician.
Yes.
Sir Elton Hercules.
Yes. And I should, again, to point out, not all the celebrities legally changed their name to their stage names, but he did.
Got it.
Yeah. So, good job. Some of those that you knew, but hopefully some of the circumstances surrounding them you did not. So, good job, guys.
We have our final quiz segment, and this is a music round. Everybody loves a music round.
Ooh.
And it is themed. The theme is pretty easy to figure out, but here we go. I'm going to play short clips of songs, and you have to identify the artist. Buzz in and tell me what artist.
Okay.
Here we go. Number one. Yeah.
That is the Beastie Boys.
Correct. Beastie yeah. Boys. Can you identify the song?
Yes, that is... Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Five, four,
it's
three,
off of Ill Communication.
Two, one. It is Root Down.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It is Root Down, of course.
Very famous line.
Gosh.
Oh, wine is a cruel mistress sometimes.
All right. Here's another one.
That is Pavement.
That is Pavement.
And that is Shady Lane.
Yes, iconic indie band.
Yeah, playing
is
all my favorites
Colin
here.
Colin Quiz.
I know.
All right, here's one for you, Dana.
Okay.
I found you finally. You make me want to say, oh, 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 my gosh.
I've heard
it's like
it.
Neo, is it? So I, all these people blur together for me. They're just the summer mix, and I don't remember. It's like Neo, Tayo Cruz.
From one of my jams.
Like, yeah,
it is Usher.
Usher.
Oh, I was
yeah.
actually thinking that, but I was nowhere near confident enough.
Featuring Will I Am.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Very auto-tuned piece of a
the summer
a doozy.
Jams.
Yeah. The summer jams.
Oh, 11.
And what's the song? Do we know the name? It's all right. We just know Usher and Will I Am. All right.
Oh, sing the whole song, but I can't remember.
Here is the next one.
Sounds like a British person.
Yeah, like Lily Allen.
Lily Allen, maybe?
Correct, it is
oh,
Lily Allen.
Yeah. Oh,
actually,
right.
Mark Ronson featuring Lily Allen covering a really great song by the Kaiser Chiefs.
Oh.
Yeah. And here's the last one.
Hmm.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends, but...
It's just so big. It's just out there.
Perform the whole song for us, Dana.
Dana doesn't even need to buzz in.
Yeah. The whole song.
That is.
I like
Sir Elton Mix-a-Lot.
Yes.
Hercules.
Sir Hercules Mix-a-Lot.
Hercules Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes. Baby Got Back.
Oh, so
there
we
go.
The theme?
What's
wow,
the theme?
All right, we got Beastie Boys, Root Down, Pavement, Shady Lane, Usher, Will I Am.
If you're paying attention to the lyrics.
Lyrics. Kick it, Root Down. Oh, do they all say,
oh
my
God?
Yeah!
Yeah!
All have Oh My God in there.
OMG or Oh My God.
That's funny. I think we both pieced that together at the same time.
Yeah.
That's good.
So the expression OMG, we use it now every day,
right.
Almost.
And it's been validated as an official word.
And so the expression OMG, which is the abbreviation of Oh My God, just in case you didn't know.
Just in case you haven't been near the internet ever.
First occurred in 1917.
Wow.
Wait,
1917, the year 1917, a British lord, Lord Fisher, coined the term OMG.
It was like, OMG, this League of Nations meeting is going on forever. Like,
OMG, Winston, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Okay.
So Lord Fisher was an admiral of the British Navy. And in a letter, in a documented letter that he wrote to Winston Churchill, he used the term OMG, and then in parentheses, oh my God, with exclamation points. And this is, I'm going
to
read
it. I think he misunderstands what an abbreviation is for. Like, if you need to spell out what it is immediately afterward, you're doing it wrong.
No, like he used it throughout.
Oh, okay, all right. That was on first reference.
He's like, and then he said this to me, OMG.
Can you believe what the Germans are doing? Well, actually, so the letter Lord Fisher wrote to Winston Churchill confidently talking about how the Brits could easily overpower the Germans at sea. So it was kind of like a bragging, mean girl letter, you know, to his to his pal, Winston Churchill. And here I'm going to quote it. Now that I know that he used OMG, it's so hard not to think of like a Valley Girl.
Right.
Or like a high school Valley Girl trying to describe
events. Or I picture friend. Him like texting it out to Winston Churchill. No.
He says, "We are 5 times stronger at sea than our enemies, and here's a small fleet that we could gobble up in a few minutes, playing the great vital sea part of landing an army in the enemy's rear. I hear that a new order of knighthood is on the tapis. OMG! Parentheses. Oh my god. Exclamation point.
It kind of makes sense that it would sort of come out of a military communique. I mean, they are all about the just sometimes the forced abbreviations and acronyms, and I like that. Yeah, that's really good.
1917. So, yeah.
So it has a legitimate pedigree.
Mm-hmm. A military pedigree. So there we go. And we're actually going to end this episode with a special listener challenge. And it's the return of the Bonobo Smarty Pants Challenge.
Woo.
So here I have a poem and it's a puzzle. And it might be a little bit tough, but our prizes are great. So email us what you think the answer is at gjb.podcast@gmail.com. One answer per person, and we're going to randomly select 5 winners from the correct pile. And the 5 lucky winners will win a sweet Good Job Brain swag pack, stickers, cards, and such.
Sweet.
And our friend at Bonobos is also providing a $50 gift code for the winners as well.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
That is nice.
$50.
Those are some fancy pants they have.
Yeah.
OMG stickers, guys.
So very exciting, lots of prizes, and we're accepting answers until December 17th midnight. So see if you can show off your smarts and solve this riddle.
Tell me where I reside, with Spot and Fido on my side. 7 peaks might be your guide, under a regal hat that gleams with pride.
And there we go. So don't forget to email us your answer at gjb.podcast@gmail.com.
All right.
Yeah, that is our show. So thank you guys for joining me. Thank you, special guest Wine, for joining us as well. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learn a lot about crazy facts about Prince and stage names.
Do not rent your house to Prince.
If that ever happens. And also the origin of OMG. You can find us on Zune Marketplace. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And of course, special thanks to our sponsor, Bonobos, at bonobos.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
All trivia nerds, Brittany here, and I host the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast with my best friend Meredith. Is your next car ride looking like a snooze fest? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of awesome trivia every week. Harry Potter, Disney, science, sports, you name it. No more silent car troubles. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Connect, laugh, and learn with your kids, big and small. New episodes every week wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast.